You're listening to the Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew. I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
And we're from the otakuspirit.com website, where you can go for all of our anime, new and old, great community in the forum links at the top, social media links on the right side, and all that good stuff. Today's episode is our discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, which should be important to you because it's important to us, then dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how is the week, Chris? How was this week?
It was okay. I've been playing the crap out of Skyrim and having a bit of fun doing that.
So you actually are playing it, not just modding it?
I have been modding it quite a bit, but yeah, mostly playing it. I finally got to a place where I'm pretty happy with where it is. But yeah, I went through crap learning the new ways that they do the modding now and trying to figure out how to get all that crap because it's a new version and so all the modding stuff is weird now.
But you're not playing on Switch.
No.
You want everything on the Switch except for Skyrim because you have to mod it.
You can mod it now through but I'm not setting up an account with Bethesda to get into their new modding community, and they'd probably charge me money for mods, and that's just dumb.
Probably because it's curated. And it's Bethesda too.
Yeah. That's
because it's Bethesda.
That's what they wanted to do, and that's I'm sure that's what they did in there.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with a company curating just to have a quote unquote safe area that you can get mods from, but it's just the whole thing.
It's honestly a good idea. I don't know that they went about it the right way at the time, and that I think was mostly the problem.
Yeah, because I think some people were ripping off other people's stuff and selling it, right? Yeah. One thing. I remember hearing something about that.
And they were also, there was some modders that were just so mad about the entire situation. Because really what they did was they the game had already pretty much gone past its prime. And then they randomly decided, oh, hey, we're going to go ahead and lock all the modding down. And only people who go through our modding system can do the mods. And so there was a lot of modders who were like, no, we don't want you to do that. And then they put up charging like 0.01 cent for a big old banner that said, I don't like mod charging for mods or something like that.
Yeah. 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 Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. I've been only really just been continuing every now and then playing Trails of Cold Steel, and I've actually been enjoying that game. It's very anime already, not like super like anime, but it's got that standard anime at academy type feel to it.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty fun so far. I don't think I'd be able to stand it these days because it's like dealing with old school JRPGs with turn base these days is a little more difficult just because how technically slow it goes, but it has a 3x speed button on it. So that helps it go by a lot quicker. Has a tsundere in it, has an accidental boob touch already, and so yeah, it's got anime in it, but it's got like a overall kind of academy and possible warring nation thing going on, so we'll see where the story goes. I mean, it's literally, I think they're now releasing the fifth one of it, so it's apparently popular enough they've done five
iterations
of it.
I'm surprised you didn't do the Three Houses, the Fire Emblem one.
Yeah, I don't know. I never did touch it. I don't know why. I technically at the time I wasn't really feeling like playing that type of a game at the time that it was coming out, and then I just never got back to checking it out. I keep having these little moments where I'm trying to think of a game that I actually want to play. And for some reason, Fire Emblem never crosses my mind whenever I'm thinking of a game that I want to buy.
Yeah, it was one of those that I tossed it on my wish list, I want to say, but it's one that I do want to get to at some point, but you were a lot more into it than I was. I liked it just fine, but I more liked the just kind of the customization factor of it, and I don't know that that is in there, and so I was kind of just waiting to see if you were if you liked that aspect.
Yeah, I think the main reason why I didn't end up picking the game up when it first came out was, I mean, I still felt a little bit fresh off the fact that I didn't play the previous one at all, and I bought like the double pack and everything. So I think it was one of those things where I bought the double pack cart, played like 10 minutes of it, and I don't know what it was about it that I kind of just like, nah, I don't really want to play this right now. And then, like I said, Fire Emblem Three Houses came out, and it's like, I don't know if I want to dump money into it again, because I loved the first 3DS one, which was that what was Fate. One of them's Awakening, one is Fate. I forget which one's which, but the first one, I played that to death, and I loved it. And then that second one came out, and I don't know why, I just didn't really feel it. And then
I think Fates was the one that you didn't get very far in, because the Awakening, I think, is the one that we liked, that we played to death.
Yeah, that was an awesome one. So I don't know. I know eventually I'll end up playing it. I don't know why it's just not popping in my head when I'm desperately searching for something to play and something that's going to catch my interest at the moment. But got literally 6 days from now, Ghost of Tsushima, that's going to get played. Now I'm back at the Final Fantasy VII conundrum, where the Amazon is telling me it's not going to get here until like next month, even though it's releasing next Friday.
Ow.
So if that one doesn't leave Amazon like on Tuesday, I think it is, I'll have to figure out what I'm going to do to buy it somewhere else, because I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I was going to say, a month is a little bit more.
I'll probably end up downloading again.
A month is a little bit harder to deal to swallow than a day. I mean, I'm surprised. You did end up buying Final Fantasy twice, or?
Yep. It's still sealed up there in the special edition because I have it digitally on my PS4.
You're hardcore. But no, a month.
It's a good thing that game was really awesome, okay?
A month I could see you doing that, but a day was that's a little bit hard.
Yeah. Well, no, even with Final Fantasy, it wasn't going to be a day. It was like 5 days. It was like the following week. Mm. And that was a game I've been waiting for that one forever. Ghost of Tsushima, it's just been the first time I've been excited for something since Final Fantasy VII Remake, and before then it was, shoot, I don't know what. I just don't get excited for games much anymore. So when I do get excited for them, it's like, I want to play this now. So, I think if it doesn't leave Amazon sometime next week, I'll probably just cancel the order and probably download it. So Ghost of Tsushima, that's one that I don't really think I need to have it in physical edition. Like Final Fantasy Remake, that one, I just need one. I need a collector's item to sit there. So yeah, other than that, started watching Galaxy Angel. Got the newest one in here, so I'm watching that to review that. We got the latest OVAs / movies for Gundam Build Fighters, so we'll have to watch that eventually.
Yeah,
that's exciting. Thankfully a Gundam came in. Chris probably started crying a little bit, but I'm like, Chris, it's okay. This one's a short one. It's okay. This isn't a 50 episode endeavor again. Even though some of those 50 endeavors are really awesome. Some of them was like, yeah, this is the old days where everything had to be an entire year worth of anime.
It is one of those that's kind of frustrating. It's not that I don't like it. It's just that I'm just tired of them. You do. What was it?
Well, at some point we were doing like literally 3 weeks worth of binging straight through these shows. So after a while, it does get a little tiring. It's the binge factor, and with something like a review, it's not like something you can go, well, we'll watch one core, and then we'll wait 2 weeks and watch another core, and we'll wait a few weeks, because that would end up taking literally several months. So you have to kind of chug through it. You got to get through it all the way through it. And that usually includes the bad episodes and the good episodes. So it it's just a but I think, like I said, we're pretty much through all the big long ones, so yeah. So yeah, I think that's pretty much all that's been going on lately. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I have to make a correction from last episode, and I literally tweeted like right after I posted the episode. I did right after posting the episode find out that Atari, My Dear Moments, which is that Aniplex.exe program thingamajiggy that Aniplex is doing, a visual novel, is on Steam in English. I bought it too. Download it. I try to play it on the Steam, their little Steam Cast thing where you can play your computer through Steam on your iPad. It worked out pretty well. You can actually play any game technically on your computer because it's basically a virtual, like a virtual machine, a remote on your iPad. It's just kind of every now and then the colors get a little weird, but it works. Just a little bit wonky on the controls. But yeah, Atari, My Dear Moments, and the other one, Atabana Odd Tales, are both on Steam, and they're English and everything, so you can actually go get them. I that's one that I was kind of planning on playing through, the Atari one, just because it's just kind of new, and I don't know anything about it, which, like I said, I have several visual novels I need to get through, but they're all technically stories that I know for the most part, just because I've watched the shows, but Atari is a new one, so it'd be nice to check out a new story and get people a take on that. So maybe hopefully here soon I'll bust through that. But that is on there. So correction to myself. It's available to everybody. You can go download it. So yeah, I guess we can jump into the news. You ready?
Sure.
All right. Our first one we have is Shout Factory has planned to stream the entire Ultraman library. They're going to be streaming on their Shout Factory TV streaming service, which I don't know that we've ever talked about that, but apparently they have a streaming service, so you can check that out. This includes Ultra Q, Ultraman, Ultra 7, Return of Ultraman, Ultra Ace, Taro, Guy, the Battle of Hyperspace, Cosmo, Nexus, Netmax, Mebius and Ultraman Brothers, Mega Monster Battle, Ultra Galaxy the Movie, Ultraman Sega, Ginga S, X, Orb, and Geed. I know that you were probably specifically wondering if they had Mebius, so that's why I decided to call them all out. So now you know. Specifically, Ultraman Mebius is in there. That's cool. That's pretty interesting.
That's Ultraman Saga, by the way.
What?
You said Sega.
Oh, did I? Yeah, the Sega Genesis version of Ultraman Saga. It's a lot of words, Chris.
I know. That's why I was trying to help. I just...
Yeah, somebody's like, actually, Ultraman did not have a Sega version. They have a Saga. Push up my glasses. So yeah, check that out if that is something you are a fan of. I'm not, but I do respect the series, so that's exciting. Moving on, we have Cube Type has revealed a new Tauhou, wherever you want to say it, Tauhou, Labyrinth Ginsokyo to Tenkan no Taiju game. This is releasing on PS4 and Switch, only in Japan on the 16th for now, but as I'm pretty positive that's something that probably come to the West.
Is this another one of the bullet
hells? It's not a bullet hell, and that's what's interesting. It looks more like a overhead dungeon crawler through a grid, and then when you get in battle, it goes to first person, and you're fighting the mobs. So it seemed like a more old school... I thought it was going to be like a full first-person dungeon crawler, kind of, like, grid-based. But they kind of jump back and forth between, like, an overhead grid and a first-person combat sequences, so...
Because I've always loved the Toho artwork.
And
that's one of the things is I can't play bullet hells. I suck at them. I'm not even going to try. Especially with the ones that I see on the Tohos. Those are just insane.
Not very newcomer friendly, that's for sure. But yeah, if you're like us, yeah, there you go. Because I'm on the same page. I really do like the art style and everything, but not a huge fan of bullet hells. So something interesting for the Switch purists as we are sometimes to check out. See here. Next one we have is Crunchyroll is to add the fifth. That time I got reincarnated as a slime OVA on November 27th. I'm glad that we know ahead of time, because that's a long way away. They will be having it available for North America, Central America, South America, Europe, Africa, Oceania, and the Middle East, and the Commonwealth of the Independent States. There you go. It's cool they've been getting all those OVAs. We have not taken the time to sit down and watch through all those, but definitely something we'll eventually get around to and get caught up on, because more slime is always good. Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, the new Higurashi. I know that everybody has been wondering, dang, that COVID thing. I wanted my Higurashi, my new Higurashi. Well, they finally have kind of given us some light to when we'll actually see it. The Higurashi When They Cry new anime adaptation is planning to debut in October. So new plans are set for fall. So look forward to it at that point. Or not, if you're Chris.
I'm so mixed on that. I do want to see the updated artwork and everything like that, but I don't know if I want to sit through that hell again.
It's just a baseball bat. Just redecorating, that's all. This was kind of a out-of-nowhere announcement. As everybody's waiting for Cyberpunk, unlike me, they have announced that CD Projekt Red has announced that they are working with Netflix and Studio Trigger. They're going to be producing a Cyberpunk 2077 anime.
Absolutely. So, totally on board.
Some of the cool points here is that Yo Yoshinara, who did the character designs for Little Witch Academia, will be doing the character designs here. And, of course, Hiroyuki Amaishi, who did Gurren Lagann and Kill Kill, will be directing the anime. So, pretty high pedigree to be working on a video game adaptation. So, and I think the idea of having another cyberpunk-type anime is always kind of welcome. It seems always turn out to be some pretty awesome stuff whenever we get cyberpunk and anime. So hopefully it doesn't get too crazy triggerish. Don't blow up shitty streets with gunplay. I'm just kidding. But no, that's pretty cool. They have the trailer out there, but it's just basically each of the some of the people that are working on it talking about it. But pretty cool.
2022. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Don't expect it anytime soon. it's going to be called Cyberpunk Edge Runners, and yeah, as Chris noted, it'll be in 2022. So, I almost thought the title was going to be Edge Runners in 2022, which doesn't make any sense if it's Cyberpunk 2077. But then, yeah, expect that in a couple years. Cool stuff. The official website for Date A Live Fragment Date A Bullet, Date 8 Bullet. Revealed a two-part theatrical project. They've got a new trailer out there you can check out. The two parts will be Date A Bullet, Dead or Bullet, which is opening in Japan on August 14th, and Date A Bullet, Nightmare or Queen, which is opening in Japan on November 13th. So, cool stuff. Excited for that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, this is pretty much the adaptation of his waifu of the show. So
yeah, pretty much.
Now, do you know anything about?
No, there is one other.
Is this supposed to be her backstory or something?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought this was your favorite character, and you would know everything that is breathed about it.
I don't know. I'm sure I'll find out, just like everybody else. I was gonna fix something. Kurumi is easily probably my favorite, my second favorite, and they both fight back and forth for top spot for me, and that's Orihime. I love her too. Not Orihime.
Origami?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Origami. And that's... I don't know, I didn't have a problem with her until... Was it the second or third season? They just kind of, like, it was more of a writing thing. It just the way they pulled that, it was like, yeah. Anyways, Kotori, best girl. So Kotori will probably stay my best girl for now. I don't know. Not that I have a disdain for any of them. They all have their charm.
Yeah.
Just Kurt to me was like, I don't know that I can go along with you on this. She's literally mass murdering people and can't really go with that. Well, they're bad people. I don't care. She's very bad.
I like her because she's a tease, and that's the exact... I mean, I love her kind of twisted personality. I enjoy that kind
of
character.
I love her character design, too. It's great.
And her character design is absolutely phenomenal.
So, yeah, we will wait to find out if that's a prequel or not. Pretty interesting as well is Battle Athlete is apparently coming back. This is like one of those ones where I'm like, I don't remember if I watched anything on it, but I do remember it very, very distinctly. But yeah, apparently they launched a new manga and they have announced a actual adaptation of that one already. So if you are a fan of Battle Athletes, look forward to that coming back. It's pretty out of nowhere. That was like a show back in the 90s, I think.
It's one of those that I seem to remember something about, but I don't think I've ever actually watched it.
This new manga features a completely new story for the 90s multimedia franchise Battle Athletes Victory, and the science fiction sports action story set in the year 5100. Elite athletes from around the solar system compete in to become Cosmic Beauty, the champion of a huge athletic tournament. Prologue chapter includes images of new competitors as well as Lahri Felnut, a Chris Christopher. I like that.
That's a great name.
It's like Jimothy. Akari Kanzaki, Cosmic Beauties of 100 Years Ago. Ooh. Interesting stuff.
Best girl's probably Chris Christopher, just saying.
No, I'm just waiting for the announcer.
Now coming, Chris Christopher.
It'd be like Christopher or something like
Chris
that.
Chris Christopher. Yeah. Cool stuff, though. Always like those old shows coming back. Let's see here. Production IG producer Rui Kuroki announced that they have plans to announce an anime series in collaboration with Adult Swim at the virtual Comic-Con event.
If the Japanese have nothing else going for them, they are great at announcing announcements.
Announcing announcements, yes. So look forward to their announcement that they have just announced that they will be announcing on the Comic-Con virtual event. Which I think that one is the one going on July 22nd through the 25th. I'm not sure exactly where in there they're going to actually be doing that. They said the Comic-Con specifically, so it's 22nd to 26th. I'm not sure if it's going to happen the Adult Swim one at 23 to 25th. So somewhere in there. Look forward to it. Maybe it'll be Fully Coolie or something. More Fully Coolie. That's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. So, yeah. Be excited for announcements. That'll come eventually. Some sad news. Some super sad news. Apparently, Shun Kazakami, who was the mangaka that was going to be doing the Akane spinoff SSS Gridman manga, has announced that she will unfortunately not be doing that, and that the project has been canceled. They said that it was due to some difference in direction for the manga story. Kazakami said that they were struggling with the manga for over a year, but to no avail, and apologized to the for the manga's cancellation. So, bummer. I think we talked about this when it was first announced. I'm like, hey, cool, a manga that's based off Akane. I will not be upset about that. And it's funny because it is one of those ones where it's like, I wish I was a fly on the wall to, like, wonder, like, what was Kazakami's idea for where to take the character in the manga? Was it supposed to be a prequel story? Did they want to do a post story? Did they want to take it in different directions? Did one just want to do fan service? Did one actually want to do there? Because there's so much they could actually do with that character that kind of has me kind of brainstorming. That would be really fantastic. But I mean, besides the fact that it's Akane and it would be a great fan service manga, but like I said, there's actual cool story stuff they could do. So bummer. Because that is one of those ones I kind of would be pretty interested in actually, you know, buying and stuff. So
when it comes down to it, wanting to do a spinoff, they would want to pay homage, but at the same time, actually being incorporated into it would be difficult.
Yep. Bummer. Yes, SSS Gridman's one of my few very much beloved Trigger shows. I do have them. I do love Trigger shows. This is going to be a thing. I have to keep apologizing for myself for Trigger. But yeah, that's a big bummer.
You will come to the dark side.
I'm looking forward to the sequel too. But we still have the sequel SSS Gridman coming, so we can look forward to that at least. Or hopefully she'll come back and say that. Oh, never mind. We figured something out. We're still good. Retro Crush has added new anime to its service. So they're continuing to bring in some older shows to their streaming platform. We have 1 Million Year Trip Vander Book, which is on July 3rd. Also, Baggy, the Monster of Mighty Nature on the 3rd. Ambassador Magma. Ambassador Magma on July 10th. Hakuge, Legend of Moby Dick on July 10th. Voltes V on the 17th. Shin Getter Robo on the 17th. Ita Kiss on the 24th. Project Eiko 2, Plot of Daitokuju Kuji Financial Group on the 31st of July. Eiko 3, Cinderella Rhapsody on the 31st as well. And also on the 31st, Project Eiko 4, Final. Which is pretty cool. Now, I suggest the Eikos at least. That's because I watched the first one and I love it to death. I haven't actually watched the other Eikos, and that's like a surprise. Because finally when Discotech or whatever, finally got the other three of them, I was like super excited. I bought them immediately, and I've yet to actually sit down and watch them because I love the first one so much. You would think that I would actually get on to watching the other ones already. Time, as usual. Time.
I'm impressed that it's got an Apple TV app. I'm surprised we don't have it downloaded already.
I don't need another streaming service.
It does technically say that it's ad-supported. I don't see a subscription.
Yeah, I guess I can just download it just to have it on there. Just to throw on every now and then. Just to support. I always like to throw something up with some ads on it and support it. And retro streaming is definitely one of those ones that we've seen several companies do it and it never works out. They always end up kind of folding at the end. But it'd be good to kind of keep supporting it just by kind of letting it play. But yeah. Some oldies but goodies. Retro Crush. Check that out if you are interested.
I'm getting to the point where I'm gonna have no choice but to get myself a Apple TV.
Yeah. There you go. Chris has decided to go Apple TV.
Well, I could get myself another Roku. My Roku right now is dead. It makes me so mad.
Why is it dead?
Just died.
Just randomly, I'm not turning on no more?
Yep.
Yeah, that would suck if the Apple TV did that to me. It's not cheap. Let's see here. Exceed Games.
Well, it was like 5 years old, so.
Yeah, and it was like, what, $50 at most?
Not 100.
Really?
I bought the good one.
You bought the good one. The other one had ad support. I don't like that.
No, the other one was the older version, and I got the newer version. And you know how they just kind of tear out based on how long it's been out.
Yeah. Exceed has revealed plans to release Sakuna of Rice and Ruin in a physical form on PS4 and Switch. So we'll be getting a physical edition. That's pretty cool. The standard edition and the special divine edition. The special divine edition will be have a custom outer box with exclusive artwork, art book with 130 pages of illustrations and concept art, soundtrack of 42 songs on 3 CDs, and a Japanese Omomori charm. So, cool stuff. That's one that I'm actually looking forward to. mainly because it kind of reminds me of like the VanillaWare type games, which I always end up liking those for the art style mostly. But it had an interesting concept of kind of like the 2D combat exploration with the rice growing on the side kind of thing with the family up on the hill. So it looked really, really charming. So if that's something you have been looking forward to, you can look forward to the fact that it's actually getting a physical release. So it's pretty cool. Now, it technically is one that I'm probably going to wait until I see all the actual reviews of it. Because it is an indie game. And if I remember correctly, it was like a team of like two or three people that worked on it. So it is one of those ones where I'm like, yeah, I'll probably wait to see if they actually pull it off. It's not too short or has a lot of bugs in it. And then if it turns out that they put it together properly, I will definitely pick it up. Yeah, for those that don't remember, the players take on the role of Sakuna, a proud yet lonely harvest goddess who was banished into a dangerous island with a group of outcast humans. Sakuna tames the island by defeating demons, using farm tools as a weapon, while chaining attacks with her celestial scarf, a magical item that allows her to grapple distant enemies and platforms. And grow rice. I don't know why they didn't include that. You get to grow rice. All right, sad news. Tales of Arise has been officially delayed until after 2020 now they claim that it's not necessarily due to COVID, though it did kind of affect them in some way, in some certain aspects of development, but they kind of work to adapt to those circumstances. Their actual kind of claim is the fact that it's too ambitious of a project, so they need more time to actually work on it. So I don't know if they're just kind of, you know, blowing smoke at us, or if it's more of the fact. I mean, it technically is their move to, I believe, Unreal Engine, and it looks a lot more detailed. I mean, if you watch the trailers for it, they're definitely amping up the visual quality, like having him attack and then the whole entire ground like turns to flames. So they're doing a lot more environmental stuff as well. So it does seem like they're actually going for something that's going to be a little more realistic looking, a lot more scope to it. So it's probably a possibility that's why they're kind of needing a little bit more time, but we'll see. But that's a bummer. That is definitely when the trailers hit for that one, I was kind of like, whoa, I'm actually really hyped for a Tales game right now. And I mean, I enjoy my Tales games, but the last few, ever since I think Zillia 2, I've been kind of cooled down on them a little bit. But I look forward to another one that can get me as hype as Arise is doing. But unfortunately, I have to wait now. So, bummer. Bummer, bummer. Netflix is planning to stream, has begun to stream Ghibli films in Canada. So if you are living in Canada, you can find the catalog of Ghibli films there. So congratulations to y'all. That's pretty cool. I always like to see this stuff kind of branch out to other regions. So cool stuff. And a new PV has released for The Wandering Witch, The Journey of Elena anime. I don't know if we've ever actually seen this, but it actually looks really good. So apparently it will be produced by C2C. Looks like a very kind of, I don't know if I would say, it looks very Little Witch Academia-ish, though it doesn't look like it's actually set in a school setting. C2C looks like they're doing a pretty good job on the visuals for it, but yeah, if you're looking forward to like a kind of a witch-type anime, keep an eye out for Wandering Witch.
Kind of looks cute girls doing cute things, but I'm just basing that off of how it looks. It feels a little bit more lighter.
Yeah, I agree with you, but it
don't know. It's starting to get dark.
I agree with you the idea that it has a look of cute girls and cute thing because the characters look very cute, but it doesn't. It looks like it's possibly going to be very more story based. It doesn't look like it's going to be just cute girls shooting magic and giggling and going home. It looks more like it's going to be telling an actual story.
Yeah, so that second half, it definitely looked more drama-ish. I mean,
drama starts hitting on the PV. Never mind! yeah, Chocho's going to be doing music for it, so that's good. It says, once upon a, this is for the light novel series synopsis. Once upon a time, there was a witch named Elena who set off on a journey across the world. Along the way, she would meet all kinds of people, from country full of witches to a giant in love with his own muscles. But with each meeting, Elena would become a small part of their
story.
But with each meeting, Elena would become a small part of their story. I don't know why I missed that. And her own world would get much a little bit bigger. So maybe like Flying Witch and Kino's Journey put together. There you go. Yeah, like I said, I didn't really notice that one before. I don't know if we've talked about it before, but I'm definitely on my radar now. It's going to be coming in October, so another big fall anime to look forward to. We're not even started with this season. We're looking at next season. Stop it, Andrew. some new gameplay footage has released for the new ReZero mobile game. So, yeah, it's going to be, it was released on Sega's YouTube channel, not Saga's, Sega's this time. yeah. Got to get an idea of what the gameplay is going to look like. It's got pretty much portrait mode, talking with the characters. Then when it gets into combat, it looks more like a, you know, your standard chibi 2D character shooting off stuff at the other side of the battlefield. It looks all right. I don't know if there's anything new in here, story-wise, so keep that in mind. Some of the shots, I don't know if they're original stories or if they're actually getting to spoiler stuff for post-season 2 that we're currently getting into. I think the only thing that kind of bugs me is I'm kind of getting tired of all the mobile games with the chibi 2D-style characters fighting. I don't know. It's just, it seems like every game is that style now. But it is what it is. It's called ReZero Kara Hajimeru Isekai Sekaitsu Lost in Memories is the subtitle for it. So if you want some more ReZero, it's only in Japan at the moment, of course. I don't see any reason why Crunchyroll Games is not going to grab this immediately. I'd honestly believe they'd be crazy if they didn't, but, it's going to be a free game, of course, as usual, and they'll have usual purchase items, probably a gacha system for the characters. Rem will be a fortune. Don't do it. Don't touch the gacha. Don't touch it. Brightstuff has revealed its plans to release Gundam NT on Blu-ray on October 6th, so that one's one that we did not get a chance to watch, and I am actually kind of looking forward to. But, yeah, they will have, of course, English subtitles as well as English and Japanese audio. The special features will include interviews with staff, commercials, trailers, promotional videos, videos from premiere events in Japan and Los Angeles, and a Volton Breaks Down the Universal Century in 3 minutes video. So
please don't break it down in 3 minutes. That's just, you're wasting your time. I'm
really,
sorry. I'm
really
not,
fast
I'm not
talking. Really fast talking. They have synopsis as UC00097, 1 year after the opening of Laplace's box, spoiler. Despite the revelation of the Universal Century chapter that acknowledges the existence of the rights of new types, the framework of the world has not been greatly altered. The conflict, later dubbed as Laplace incident, is thought to have ended with the downfall of Neo Zeon, remnants known as the Sleeves. In its final battle, two full psycho-framed mobile suits displayed power beyond human understanding. The White Unicorn and the Black Lion were still the way to remove the danger from people's consciousness, and they should now be completely forgotten. However, the RX-0 Unicorn Gundam 03, which disappeared 2 years earlier, is now about to show itself in the Earth sphere once more. A golden phoenix named Phoenix. I love... Okay. Yeah, I believe... Wasn't this one that was released in shorts? Didn't remember if it was released in shorts, but we never did get a chance to see it, though. Mobile Suit Gundam Narrative NT Special Blu-ray Edition. Got a $35.74 right now for pre-order, coming out on, of course, the 6th. It is 89 minutes, so not a long series. And it will come with an exclusive art book. Cool stuff. So, yeah. Cool stuff. Check that out if you are a Gundam fan. Moving on, we have Omega's in Your Savage Season. Manga is getting a live-action series. Chris, is this going to work?
No, not going to watch it.
This is one of those ones where I see it and I'm like, I'm going to put this on here just so I can ask Chris, will this work? Melodrama especially just does not seem to work in live-action form, but they will try it.
There's aspects of this show that I don't really particularly want to watch. And granted, they'll probably use older people doing those characters, but there's things about that I don't particularly want to see.
He's okay with it in animated form, but when it's in live-action form by actors, now it's suddenly something I don't want to
see. It's not like they're going to show anything, but no. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, they didn't technically show anything in the anime there, so. Just a lot of suggestion. A lot of characters getting a little thirsty. Or not really thirsty, but trying to
force themselves. No, they were thirsty.
Well, yeah, some of them were, technically, yes. Okay. And train Blu-rays. Blu-rays of trains. Limited Run Games have announced new physical releases. And this is particularly pertains to this podcast because they are Japanese games. So that's the only reason I really bring them up. They are going to be doing Bloodstained Curse of the Moon physical release. Castlevania Anniversary Collection. The Friends of Ringo Ishikawa. Garo Mask of Wolves. Grandia HD Collection. That one actually piqued my interest there specifically. As well as Mega Dimension Neptunia 7, because you can always get more Nep. That's always good. Mighty Gunvolt Burst. Space Channel 5 VR. And Yi's Origin. So, pretty cool seeing all these Japanese games getting limited run games. Now, they did note that they're only distributing the Dimension Neptunia and Yeast Origin. So they're not actually producing those ones, if it matters. But cool stuff.
I'm wondering if they're going to get, at least three of them I can say are on Switch. I wonder if all of those are. Because I know Castlevania is on Switch. I think Bloodstain's on Switch. Mm-hmm. Neptunia, I believe, is on Switch. I could be wrong. I do know that there is a Neptunia on Switch.
Yeah, I still need to decide if I want to buy the Senran Kagura games they have that they're releasing right now. It's like Limited Run Games is like one of those things where it's kind of like NIS America. Where you like the fact that they're doing releases, but at the same time, they're the type that would let something kind of run out of stock, and then you're kind of screwed, because nobody else will release it. But yeah, they did the Reflection Senran Kagura. They did Peach Ball. I don't know if they had those listed on their site yet, so I couldn't really confirm or deny it, so. Yeah, check that
anyway,
out.
Anyway, The Castlevania is one that I definitely kind of want to get.
Really? The Bloodstained one? No, oh, the Anniversary Collection. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think of the new one.
I've been clicking on the digital version for a long time, and maybe the reason why I haven't went through with it is because I was waiting for the physical version.
Yeah. There you go. One time, Chris actually wants a physical edition. The other time, he's like, whatever, download. I don't have space. Download. So, yeah, cool stuff there. Cool stuff. Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro, is getting an anime adaptation. This adaptation from the manga. Mischievous Nagatoro-san always bugs Senpai to get a reaction out of him. What is her motivation? Does she just want to create misery for Senpai?
Obviously not.
Or maybe she secretly likes him.
Obviously.
No, it cannot happen. That is not happening. Yeah. Looks cute.
Another teasing master Takagi-san, probably. And I'm probably going to eat it up.
Eat it all up.
I'm going to love every minute of it. Just saying. More than likely. Art style definitely looks
like something else.
Yeah. Telecom, I don't know if I want anything having to do with Pop Team Epic.
It's just what they
Oh, it's for
on.
The music. Okay.
Steelers have a really annoying music, that's all. I guess it's kind of one of those things that kind of meshes in the same realm as something like, why the hell are you here, teacher?
That's very possible.
This is probably the most shocking news that I ran into. This is one of those ones where it's like, why did it take me like 8 days and putting together a podcast before I found out about this? But Nice Cydonia is apparently getting a sequel film. So yeah, that was a shocker. Now this is the thing that annoys me, because I think it was when the second season ended, or maybe I grabbed them when the first season ended, but I picked up the entire manga series and just blew through them in like a week. I even had at some point, I realized that I wasn't going to get one of the chapters or one of the volumes fast enough, because it was like backordered or something like that. So I had to like go buy that chapter, read through it, and then come back to the physical ones that I'd bought. Loved it to death. And I was so ready for them to get a third chapter in there. I kind of figured a third season would probably wrap up the story. And we never really ever heard word that they were going to be doing another Knights of Cydonia to kind of conclude it. And so when I seen this, I'm like, oh, cool. Knights of Cydonia is coming back. And then it says, with all new story. And I'm like, wait, what? What are you doing? What are we doing? Yeah, it's Cydonia no Kishi, Ai Sumugi, Sumugu Hoshi, or Knights of Cydonia, the star where love is spun. Now, the very interesting thing with this is that the film will take a different path from the manga, and the story will be supervised by Nihei, who, of course, Nihei is the mangaka for Knights of Cydonia. I don't know. I'll trust them to make a really cool deviation of the story. Hopefully, maybe they'll do something, you know. It's been so long since I read that final bit of chapters to remember. I did enjoy it overall. Really loved it. I hated the last page of the manga. Yeah, I'll trust them to do a good job of it. Polygon has been very faithful to the franchise. They did a lot of amazing stuff with the Knights of Cydonia. Amazing music, visuals. It's one of the few cases that CGI just perfectly works for it, because the mecha work is amazing. I don't know. See, Chris doesn't care. He's like, sure, it's fine.
Yeah, sure.
But us manga readers, we have some... We feel a little betrayed.
Obviously, you're not too betrayed, because you didn't like the last page. So obviously,
I show you that last page?
I don't particularly care.
You don't want to, or you don't care if you see it or not?
I don't. I doubt it's going to change my mind about how I feel about the show or not. I don't.
Oh, I know. It's just more of a just show you how it trolled.
It probably will injure a character that I like, and I don't particularly care to see that.
The whole story was actually inside of a bottle on somebody's shelf in their refrigerator. The whole universe was in a bottle in somebody's refrigerator.
Good job.
No, I'm joking. Not one of those ones.
Yeah. Hey, that would make complete sense as to what was going on in that show, so it works for me.
It was all a bottle. And then they popped the top of it, and then it all ended. It's coming out in 2021, so it's nothing coming anytime soon. But I'm excited either way, because more Nice Sidonia is welcome for me. And that's the cool thing, is like, even though, yeah, I'm joking about the idea of like, oh, I feel betrayed because it's not going with the manga, I'm actually excited because it's technically more new stuff. You know, if it deviates in a bad way, I saw the manga and I get a new story. So yeah, cool stuff. Some good news. Aniplex has announced that every day today's menu with the Emiya family will be getting a North America release. This, of course, is a Switch title. So
I know you're happy about that.
Yep. I got my confirmation. Gonna get it. Hopefully they will actually do a physical. I doubt they're going to do a physical. This is one of those ones where I don't see them doing a physical release. No, actually, no. Aniplex might do a physical release. They might do like a super like crazy priced release of it. But yeah, that's cool. I'm really happy for that. I don't have to import it. That's always good. Don't have to import it and not understand what it's saying. Crunchyroll adds new manga to their terrible manga service. This includes Ashidaka, The Iron Hero, Cardcaptor Sakura, Clear Card, and Ghost in the Shell, The Human Algorithm. So, if you can actually manage to have that manga thing function, enjoy reading your manga.
It's hit and miss for me, so don't go, hey, Chris, do you like it? No, I don't particularly care for their manga app either.
I have to uninstall it every time I open it to get it to open up again.
Pretty
That's
much.
My issue.
That's what I had to do last time.
Crunchyroll Roberts fixed that.
Crunchyroll Roberts.
What do I want to say? Miles? Get to work on it, Miles. I don't think Miles work on it. I don't have that much. I don't know. I don't know who's the manga person. I got to find out who the manga person is. And then I'll get them.
Like I said, I'd be impressed if any of them are actually listening to us.
I don't know. I think Miles has commented on stuff before, but I don't know. He might have stopped. People get tired of us after a while. There's the Roberts joke again. I get sick of me too. I don't feel bad.
I get sick of me all the time.
Rent-A-Girlfriend manga is getting an anthology collection on August 17th. Now, this is actually really interesting. It was announced in the 32nd issue of Kodansha's Weekly Shonen Magazine. States that Reggie Miyajima's Rent-A-Girlfriend or Kanojo Okari Shimasu. Manga will be getting a manga anthology edition. The anthology will conclude the works from the following manga creators. The ones that stood out to me here recently, a lot of people have been talking about My Dad's the Queen of All VTubers, Wataru Akashingo. Also, the mangaka for Siru Girl. That one's another interesting one. Hajimete no Gao, Boarding School Juliet, Isekai Cheat Magician, Ryo's Work is Never Done. Fuka, Girlish Number, Sudazuri Children, that'll be an interesting art style to go with it. Teasing Master Takagi-san. So, a lot of very familiar manga artists that will be doing works for this, so that's pretty cool. Definitely need to check that out. It's kind of fresh in our minds right now because the show has just begun. Started off pretty interesting, so we'll see where it goes from here, but pretty cool stuff there. Dogo Kobo is going to be working on another show that we'll probably love to death. They're going to be adapting My Senpai is Annoying manga into an anime format. The synopsis for this one is Igarashi is a hardworking young office lady. Takeda is the senpai in above her at work annoys her constantly, and yet she finds herself growing closer to him. Every day is filled with comic mishaps and romantic moments as Igarashi tries to balance work, life, and love. Full color manga, which started its life as a webcomic, is sure to charm audiences and workplace comedies like Agatsuko and The Office.
She looks very adorable. Very interesting.
Very interesting reference is The Office. So yeah, it's got that little charm of like the big huge dude and with a gruffy voice and the short looking girl, kind of contrasting the comedy there. So, cool stuff. Always look forward to more fun,
she's gonna
cute
be a
stuff
complete
from
and total tsundere. You know she is.
Anything from Dokobo always ends up turning into pretty golden stuff, and this one looks like it's got a lot of good charm to it. So. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. The Violence manga is getting a screen adaptation, which I guess that can either be a film or anime. I'm assuming probably an anime. The manga story centers around Kei Kikuno, an assassin who seems to be an easygoing and cute girl next door, but is actually a top hit girl. Kay skillfully handles jobs with her gun expertise and physical prowess. Very, very interesting. I thought it was like a playoff of like just sports or something like that, but then I realized that one of her hands has a gun in it and the other one has a squirt gun, so I guess it's going to be one of those. By day, she seems like a normal girl, and at night, she shoots stuff, so. Interesting. Yeah. I've never heard of this one before, so it's always kind of a surprise to get something like this jump out. Hopefully, I haven't heard anything on it, like I said, but if anybody knows anything on it, if it's any interesting, definitely let us know. Dropkick on My Devil creator Yukiwo stated on Twitter that they will definitely be making a third season happen someday. So if you love your Dropkick on My Devil, we unfortunately didn't get back to finishing off that series. It's one of those ones where it like, sucks whenever it drops in full because it's hard to really kind of plan around it to keep it going throughout our season. And then when it gets to the end of the season, it's like, crap, we got to watch like five or eight episodes of it still. But always look forward to more Dropkick on My Devil. I feel like it's kind of been, it was losing its steam in that second season, but I'm sure it probably picked back up at some point. Just didn't get a chance to get to it. But yeah, another third season coming. Of course, I think all creators, manga creators, like, yeah, sure, we'll make more. Please keep buying. Please keep supporting. Yeah. The artist for the Sakugana no Shana manga series has launched a new manga titled Aikanaru. The manga story is supposed to center on Sadai, a person who heads into the mountains with the intent of taking his own life, but instead it encounters a mysterious, gentle girl. So. Now, granted, not the original creator of Sakugana no Shana, it's just the person that did the artwork for the manga adaptation, but definitely has a little bit of a Sakugana no Shana look to it, so... Mm-hmm. Look forward to seeing that eventually, see what the story is. It definitely does sound like it's going to be a very heavy story. We'll see.
Yeah, well, yeah, considering what the intro is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Why is she up in the hills? Is she real? Ooh, she could just be a spirit. Retailer Rakuten has listed the Dungeon of Black Company manga with a cover that announced the TV adaptation of it. This one is the synopsis. Kenji, who lacks any kind of work ethic, is a layabout in his modern life. One day, he finds himself transported to another world, but not in a grand fantasy of a hero welcomed with open arms. He's immediately shoved into a terrible job. Now enslaved by an evil mining company in a fantasy world, Kenji's about to really learn the meaning of hard work. So,
right on.
He's forced to hard labor by a demon chick.
That's actually the greatest isekai I've heard of yet. It's the one where you go into a fantasy world and you go and do the profession.
Like I was an accountant. He isekai'd into another world and became an accountant for a noble.
No, I was thinking.
I was a bartender and got isekai'd and I opened
my own
bar.
You go into the fantasy world and you go do the like World of Warcraft and you go and do the professions. You go and mine.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. We'll see how that one turns out. Got more trailers for the Fairy Tail RPG that Koei Tecmo never sent us a review copy of. I wonder what that's about. I guess we weren't cool enough. We don't have a YouTube channel enough to talk about your game. We don't want podcasts talking about our game, even though we talk about you like every discussion podcast. Anyways, their new trailers revealed that they have character stories for each of the characters. They have strengthening connections that you can do for each of the characters, which unlocks skills. They kind of suggest the idea of meeting new characters so that you can build your own dream team, so to speak, your fairy tale dream team, and go out to battles with them. And, of course, the most important thing is they reveal the Digital Deluxe Edition will have a costume for Lucy, which makes her look like Atelier Thaisa. That's important. It's releasing on July 31st on PS4, Switch, and PC. The more I look at this game, the more I realize it's probably one of the best-looking anime adaptation video games. Just it, not necessarily like, oh my gosh, the gameplay is going to be like out of this world or anything. I mean, it's going to be a turn-based game, which I personally do love. But more the fact that just the character designs and how they look in the game, they just look really good. And of course, that's been the Atelier series this entire time. They've been getting better and better at making that, you know, some of the best looking. Now, granted, not the world typically looks all too detailed and fantastic, but just the character models and stuff look really cool in an anime format. So yeah, and of course making my dream team of favorites is always a good thing too. Just get rid of all the annoying boys.
So at the end of this month.
Yes it is. Miss Fairy Tail Urza costume. Yeah. Anytime you guys want to drop us a code early there, Koei Tecmo, go ahead. I dare you. We're like the best people to talk about on a podcast, and it's like, okay, sure, don't get back to me. I sent them a message at some point. They were asking. I thought it was worth a shot. Yeah, I know they usually are looking for YouTube content creators, but I thought I'd give it a shot. Next one, an extra Zita episode of Grand Blue Fantasy. The animation is going to be streaming on multiple platforms. That includes Crunchyroll, HiDive, Funimation, and Anime Lab. This extra episode releasing on August 26th. So if you're like us that love your Zita fan or Zita episodes of Grand Blue Fantasy, look forward to
which
that.
Which are definitely not enough of them.
There's not enough. The entire series should have been her, honestly. It would have been like 100 times better. Not that it's a bad show, it's just Jita's awesome. And her supporting cast is way better. Because lots of girls rather than a bunch of muscly men. No, I mean, it's not like it's a secret here why that would be better. I mean, it's just how we are. That's all it is.
We tend to have a bias towards cute anime girls. I
don't know where that came from. And what's wrong with big muscly men? This was kind of a surprise too, and this kind of happened pretty close to the announcement of Cyberpunk. So I was like, what the hell is happening right now? It seems like all these games are getting adaptations. Square Enix's The World Ends With You, or TWUI as they used to call it back in the day, TWUI, is getting a anime adaptation, which is absolutely crazy, because I know that when I played the game way back on the Nintendo DS, I despised the gameplay. I freaking hated it. But I loved the style, and I loved the story. And I couldn't... I tried so hard to beat that game, and I hated it, the gameplay, so much that I stopped playing it. And then later on, they did a mobile version of it on iOS, and I played that. It was much better, and I played through the entire story. But my thing way back in, even with the DS, is I said specifically, this would make an amazing anime. Because the story's so good. This would make a perfect anime. And so apparently, when I said that, my voice traveled for several years across the planet until it finally reached the ears of somebody who can get this done. And they decided, okay, we'll make an anime of it. So I appreciate that.
Because Andrew said something.
Because I said something 10 years ago. And it traveled. It was 13 years, right? 2007. This might be the smartphone version. I don't know. So yeah, there you go. Now, the other cool thing is that if you guys check out the trailer, there's actually a trailer out for it already. I think Funimation's already announced that they're going to be streaming it, so it's already locked into somebody. It's not coming until 2021. But the anime itself looks like it's pulling straight off the art style of the game. So it has that old character art style to it. Not old, but like the actually original character designs and everything. It's got that kind of really thick outlines to it and everything. So that's really, really cool that they can pull something like that off. You do already kind of tell with the trailer there's a lot of CGI they're going to be using. So hopefully not too awkward looking. But I think the CGI itself does kind of mesh well with the art style. So that shouldn't be too much of a problem. But we'll see. We'll see when it comes. That's way cool, though. Like I said, that's a really cool story. Would love to see it animated. Not sure about the counting guy. He was kind of annoying, though. Hopefully he's not too annoying in the anime. The numbers, dude. Cool. Did you ever touch any of that?
No.
You should get the mobile version of it. Pretty cool. Or the Switch version, which I heard was terrible. I mentioned it to him the other day. I'm like, oh, that's right. It was on the Switch. Not sure if you want to play that version of it, though. I didn't hear too many good things about it. But then, again, it could be one of those things where maybe it works for you. It didn't work for me. Yeah. Just really weird gameplay. And I always hate that stupid touchpad on the 3DS and the 2DS. Or the DS and the 3DS. Discotech has announced some licenses. They have Space Adventure Cobra TV and Detective Conan Zero, the Enforcer film. Aniplex has announced their Blu-ray release plans for Persona 5, the animation. So they're going to be setting it in a complete Blu-ray set on September 29th. They've already announced the dubcast. So if you're a dub listener, you can definitely check out the dubcast they have available for it. It's going to be on 6 discs, 26 episodes series. Persona 5, the animation Dark Sun, and Persona 5, the animation Stars of Ours. Extras include an illustration card set, commercials, trailers, textless versions of the series, opening and ending sequence. Man, calm down, Aniplex. You got to calm down on them extras. We're going to include commercials. Oh, that enough? Well, how about a clean opening and ending?
Did they,
That's everybody anymore. It's not just Aniplex. I'm just joking.
Did we ever see how far they got into the story?
I seem to remember somebody saying they rushed a lot of it, but it was supposed to tell the whole story.
The whole story.
That's just one of those ones it could have gotten better, but with the episodes that I watched, it looked rough, and that's not something I want to pay Aniplex pricing for personally, but it is nice that it's a full release. I don't know how much it's probably gonna be, like, I don't know, $250 or something like that. What's your guess, Chris? What is a full 26 episode Blu-ray release on Aniplex? What are you thinking?
100, 150.
Thinking 150? I'm thinking 200 at least. It has to be at least 200.
Well, with all of those extras, I don't know.
With all those extras, those commercials cost you. Those commercials and the clean opening ending where they took out all that nasty stuff. Why? Here, just put it right here.
Wow.
$298.
There you go.
I was given a lot more credit than I should have. I was expecting, well, maybe, you know, it wasn't that huge, but it's Persona.
I didn't value the cards enough, obviously. The
cards is where it's at. yeah, there's their standard fare, which is, well, their standard recent fare, which is about a core per $150. So, yeah, $300. The suggested retail price is $400, so you're saving $100. even though it's probably exclusively on Right Stuff, so I'm not sure how you can say this just retail cost is this. And anyways, yeah, check that out if you're a Persona fan, though. I'm sure that that's not going to stop you. All right, next.
It stopped me, so.
I just play the game again. The animation wasn't that appealing to me. Funimation and Aniplex is to screen Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba film in North America. I really love this because the press release says Funimation announced during its Funimation Con 2020 online event that Funimation Films is partnering with Aniplex of America. Chris, how does that work? How do you partner with another branch of your company?
Aniplex of America said that we were going to do it, and they went, hey, can we go ahead and latch ourselves onto your...
Yeah. Can we use your name?
Yeah.
It's like they go over like 2 feet and they open another door and say, hey, Billy, hey, how's it going? I didn't know you were here today. Yeah, can we partner with you on a project? Just want to use your name. It's literally the same company, but that's fine. I just found it funny. No word yet on exactly when it's going to be. I know that Japan, they're going to be, the film opens on October 16th. So we'll have to
wait. I don't want to call them a leech, but, you know, they're a leech.
I'm surprised.
I'm ruining any chance that they're ever going to like us.
if it's that or the Roberts thing.
I really don't much like Funimation anymore. I hope that they figure their crap out sooner or later. I really do.
I think they're getting there. They'll get there. Just Roberts needs to fix the app. This is cool news for Funimation. Here's a positive.
Are you sure?
I'll give them.
Are
positives.
You sure? Is this going to make me like them now?
Funimation announced they will be expanding their streaming service to Mexico and Brazil this fall. So they'll be opening up their platform and licenses to those locations. Select anime titles to be available in Spanish, Portuguese subtitles and dubs. So that's cool. I really do. Cause I know that's one of the biggest issues that a lot of people have, like outside of the dramas and stuff with Funimation, is more so the critical stuff of, I can't watch my stuff in my region because it's locked out and I can't get Funimation. So it's cool. Expanding that is definitely a plus. More people will be able to get the stuff. It's always a good thing. So is that a good, Chris? Can you clap for that one?
At 1%.
Tokyo Broadcasting System announced that it has acquired 49% shares of DENA's digital manga platform, MangaBox. TBS is seeking to strengthen its content and promote comprehensive media strategy. It will create more original IPs from the manga and collaborate to allow the two companies to expand into different media markets. So
I really, really, I just want to sit down and look at what DNA... I know what they do, but this has got to be the most volatile.
It is.
There is... People this buy
bought
this.
This bought this. This one yeah, sold this. This one created this. This one bought this. This one sold this.
I have never seen a company that is bought out, sold off as this company. This is the most, it's insane. They've obviously either got really great salesmen.
It's not DENA, it's their manga box is the company that they bought. DNA didn't get anything bought out. It's just their manga platform, manga box is what they got the 49% shares, if I didn't say that correctly.
All right, so
DNA has a company which is manga box. Tokyo Broadcasting System bought 49% shares of manga box.
Okay,
so they're trying to leverage the catalog of manga box, cross promotions, stuff like that. So but still, it technically is a company within DNA, so it's technically DNA selling something of theirs. So you're still correct, just not so much the company itself.
Well, one thing for a fact, they have got some really great salesmen up in there. They're selling the crap out of their stuff.
That's true. I see the marketing going on for them. Yep. They didn't say exactly how much it costed, though, because it could not have been that much. So, there you go. All right, quickly run through here. Stop me if anything sounds interesting, but we have our licenses, which a lot of the licenses got announced for different publishers. These are specifically light novels and mangas. Manga Planet got Silent Mobius manga. Kodansha Comics got a Sign of Affection manga in print form. Vertical got Blood on the Tracks digitally released, which is Shuzu Oshimi's new work. I'm actually looking forward to that one. I was actually tempted to pick up the first volume already, but it's kind of early in the series, so not going to be much to read. But yeah, I always like Ishimi's work. Denpa is doing Vampires manga, Miss Kusakabe, which is another the newest one-shot manga that Oshima did as well. Lockdown Zone Level X manga, Under Ninja manga, J-Novel got the Slayers novel series, which is crazy. And also, let's see here. They got Slayers, The Bloodline, Love Yuri, and I got Body Swap with a Fujoshi. Love Yuri, and I got Body Swap with a Fujoshi. Meet Reiji Yoshida, a Yuri otaku that loves Yuri more than anyone else in the world. All he wants to do is enjoy his hobby in peace, but trouble ensues when he crosses path with Mitsuru Hoshina, a Fujoshi who is obsessed with boy love. Hijinks ensue, and a vengeful ghost residing in the school's manga club swaps their bodies. Polar opposites in both personality and hobbies clash in an exciting first volume. Follow the adventures of comedic body swap experience. So, literally, Fujoshi and a Yuri lover switch. So, I'm guessing they have to stay in each other's homes where they have nothing but Fujoshi or Yuri stuff in it.
That's absolutely the most poetic storyline I've ever heard. I wonder if it's going to be like the kiss him, not me type thing where they get weirded out by the idea of somebody having any attraction to them. And so but that's kind of what they want is to be in that situation. So it's going to be one of those weird poetic.
Yeah, that's like one of those things. If he's like super into Fujoshi or she's super into Fujoshi, she's obviously going to make his body
play out the fantasies.
Yeah. He's going to want to do the same thing. So I was just,
and then they're constantly at each other's throat because they don't want each other to do that stuff.
That can go wrong real quick. Next one. My instant death ability is so overpowered. No one in its other world stands a chance against me. Very specific title as usual for
light novel. It's not a One Punch Man or nothing like that, no?
Awaken in absolute chaos and carnage while on a school trip, Yogiri discovers that everyone in his class has been transported into another world. He had somehow managed to sleep through the entire ordeal himself, missing out on the gift. Powers bestowed upon the others by a mysterious sage who appears to transport them, even worse, he and another classmate were ruthlessly abandoned by their friends, left as bait to distract a nearby dragon, although not terribly bothered by it, though, the thought of dying. He reluctantly decides to protect his lone companion. After all, a lowly level 1,000 monster doesn't stand a chance against a secret power to invoke instant death with a single thought. If he can stay awake long enough to bother using it, that is.
Mm-hmm.
That escalated quickly. Next, Wataru, the hot-blooded fighting teen and his epic adventures in a fantasy world after stopping... This is not the synopsis, by the way. This is just the title. Wataru, the hot-blooded fighting teen and his epic adventures in a fantasy world after stopping a truck with his bare hands. That's the title. It literally describes that he stops a truck with his bare hands in another world. And when you get to, like, the 50th chapter,
how does he get to
it's still called He Stopped the Truck with His Bare Hands.
How did he get to the fantasy world if he didn't die? Unless he died while stopping the truck with his bare hands.
It's just a fantasy world stopping a truck.
Oh, he's stopping it in the fantasy. No, I don't. That doesn't make any sense.
It's just... During his daily run at school, He happened to get hit by a large truck barreling around a corner.
So when did he stop a truck by?
Not that this is any kind of event that would be the end of the likes of Wataru. Of course. But when a truck runs into you, you get sent into another world. But that's just the way things are sometimes. Still, Wataru's not about to take this kind of thing lying down. The first thing he sets out to do is find the toughest hombre in this land and go up against the challenges. It's not saying anything about him stopping a truck with his bare hands. It's in the title, so obviously it happened, and then the story starts. I don't know. We also have record of Wartinia War, so another record of something war. Interesting. I probably knew about that before. I just forgotten already. A lily blooms in another world.
Ooh, which one's that?
What? A lily blooms in another world? You want the synopsis?
Yeah, it's an Otome game. She's whisked away into the world of her favorite Otome game.
Another Otome adaptation. Mapping the trash tier skill that got me into the top tier party. It's coming over. Mapping the trash tier skill that got me into top tier party manga. That's the light novel and the manga. The Sorcerer's Reception. Let's see here. The Black Summoner.
Receptionist.
Receptionist. There you go. The Black Summoner. Black Summoner manga. So it's light novel and manga. Holmes of Kyoto. And that is it. My gosh. J novel. Seriously. Seven Seas got Ride Your Wave manga and light novel. Berserk of Gluttony manga and light novel. The Demon Girl Next Door manga. Yay! I actually like that one. I think I was going to look that one up. Rewa Hanamaru Gakuin manga. Donuts Under a Crescent Moon. Dungeon Toilet. Die Dark. Failure Frame. A White Rose in Bloom. Muscles of Better Than Magic. Oh, Muscles Are Better Than Magic. And Rosie in the Labyrinth. Yen Press has crap tons. I like going through these just to see if I can find something that's completely absurd. Let's see here. Yen Press has Unnamed Memory, Reign of the Seven Spellblades, The Place of Promise in the Early Days, The World's Finest, Assassin Reincarnated in a Different World as an Aristocrat, The Angel Next Door Spoils Me Rotten, The King, King of the Labyrinth, light novels. Almost done. Yen Press also got, let's see here, A Certain Magical Index SS light novel, Goblin Slayer Side Stories 2 Dai Katana light novel, which I don't usually read the light novels on the Goblin Slayer. I usually do the mangas. The White Cat's Revenge as Plotted from the Dragon's King's Lap manga. Wolf and Parchment manga. That's cool. I didn't know they were doing a manga adaptation of that. Sword Online Project Alicization manga. Kaito Kozumi Illustration Spice and Wolf, the 10th year Kavado art book. And that is it for Yen Press. And finally, Viz Media got Beast Complex, Call of the Night, Dr. Stone Reboot, Byakuga, and Asadora. So, cool stuff there. And quickly, some ending series. Woman Can't Control Her Desires manga is ending. Good Job manga. Manga ends on July 16th. Diary of Our Days at the Breakwater manga goes on hiatus due to what, Chris? Flooding.
That's I don't know if that's...
I just found that comical. That the not that the people's houses are flooding, but that a manga about their days at the breakwater delaying because of flooding. But
it's too soon, Andrew.
It sucks, but yeah.
It's too soon. You can't make fun of it.
Hopefully nobody's hurt. I haven't actually seen anything on the actual news of the flooding. Hopefully it's not, like, terrible flooding. But yeah. Rising of the Shield Hero, 4-panel manga, A Day in the Life of the Shield Hero, has come to an end. Oni-chan ga Kita, which we watched that anime adaptation shoot like 3 years ago, that manga has finally ended. And Semi-Sekai no Identity manga has ended, which, of course, that is the same mangaka that did High Score Girl, so reference there.
What's the artwork look like?
Like High Score Girl.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. That's the only reason it stood out to me is because I seen that. I'm like, that looks like High School Girl manga art. Yeah. Quickly, to give people an idea to help for streaming in the summer anime season, went through and kind of got an idea of where everything's currently streaming at. Surprised to see that Crunchyroll has taken back the reins for this season. I mean, last two seasons, it seems like Funimation was just bullying the hell out of Crunchyroll, and I think that a large part to do with the fact that, of course, Funimation now has a pretty strong grip on anything that comes out of Aniplex at this point, because, again, they are technically part of the same company at this point. But yeah, currently right now, if you're looking for, like, the most bang for the buck, it's probably more Crunchyroll. Funimation still does have a pretty good listing of titles as well. I would say they probably both equally have pretty close to the same amount of titles to each one of them. There's a couple of crossover titles, of course. Fire Force, Sword Online, those are titles that kind of you can watch on both platforms. Crunchyroll currently is streaming Rent-A-Girlfriend, Peter Grill, Romantic Comedy Snafu 3, ReZero 2, Monster Girl Doctor, The God of High School, Uma Yon, Ninja Collection, and the Misfit Demon King Academy. And on the Funimation side, they, of course, are going to be continuing Balance Unlimited, Diary of Days of the Breakwater, Apare Ranman, as well as new titles, Lapis Relights, Decadence, Uzaki-chan Wants to Hang Out. And here is the biggest funny one of them all. Super HX Eros is going to be streaming on that platform.
We warned y'all.
Makes no sense.
We warned you all. We did. We warned you. This is not one that you want.
And I know why it's there. This is an Aniplex title. So, of course, it's going to be there. It's just one of those ones where it's like, you guys are literally looking really bad right now because you stopped one title. And now here you're doing it again. This title is very etchy. Granted, technically, with Interspecies Reviewers, it was technically like that borderline, stuff's actually happening, but it's not really showing it. It technically has a lot of that moaning and stuff, and it's going to be in HX Arrows as well. So I don't know. It's just one of those. I kind of tweeted about the whole announcement going like, you know, I'm fine with companies having, like, this is what we morally think we don't want to do. But you have to eventually learn that the fire burns and stop touching it. And that's what you're doing right now. You're touching it again. But anyways, you do you, Funimation. Don't drop the title and not let us be able to watch it.
If Peter Grill looks like the other one back.
I was happy that Peter Grill didn't end up with Funimation. I was totally thinking they were going to get that. But yeah. Peter Grill, and I think Snafu are technically also High Dive, so if you want to watch them on High Dive, but other than that, you're not really going to get much from going High Dive. Unfortunately, High Dive is pretty much given up at this point. Most of our stuff goes to Crunchyroll, though.
Didn't High Dive promise that they were going to try and get the uncensored version?
Yes, that's true. Peter Grill, High Dive did say they were working on it. They did do it. They did do like a special stream with us kind of thing of the first episode where they were showing a less censored version of it, but it's like, oh, look, the bright lights are less bright. But they're actually talking about getting on the censored version of it. And yeah, at that point, I don't know if they'll let Crunchyroll stream that one as well. That might be something they'll stick to their platform to kind of entice people to watch on their subscription service if you do want to do that. And finally,
they did a great opening, by the way. That was a nice little twist towards the end of that.
Finally, Netflix. The title being held Netflix Hell this time will be The Great Pretender. Now, that one is supposed to be pretty much a drop, so I'm curious if that will be at least something that we will see before the end of the season. That way we can actually review it, because that is one I'm actually super hyped for, but fortunately they're kind of holding it there for now. Finally, Tokyo Sinks, that one is technically already on Netflix, so you can watch that now. It's like 10 episodes, so that is thankfully something you can actually access now. But yeah, that's pretty much the breakdown for the season. Very heavy on the Crunchyroll side. Funimation still got a lot of strong titles left over from last season that they will entice us over there for, so we'll see how they turn out. And that's it. That's all the news. That's all I have for now. You have anything else that you, that I missed? Is there any news that I missed, Chris?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. Let's jump into our community. Ask some questions for our community members again. If you can go to TakuSpirit.com, go to the forums at the top, click on there, go to the Taku Spirit Anime Cast thread area. There's a thread for asking questions. You can also submit the contacts button at the top of TakuSpirit.com, go to social media, email. It's plenty of ways for you to contact us, let us know. Like Glenn did on Twitter, SpexDugBeast said, "Hey, Andrew, question for your podcast. I've become a recent listener, and I've been enjoying your old episodes lately, especially the anime gaming episode, which I technically been wanting to do again lately. I don't know.
I thought about it, too, but...
With current events going on, I wanted to ask what anime games you recommend for the current gen. Hope you see this. Any thoughts? Anything
stick off the out? Top of my head, definitely the Ulteriors, but I think we mentioned that in that podcast. We've got the, like, I know that we've mentioned the Tales, but current gen.
Yes, my difficulty is I loved a lot of the anime, you know, base type games for a long time with a lot of the consoles. With the current gen, it's been kind of, I don't know if it's just the play style of them not really kind of evolving too much has kind of dripped me away from them. But like I mentioned, the Trails of Cold Steel series, I've been kind of hitting that up lately. And I think that, I mean, based off the first like 5 or 6 hours that I played of it, I'm already kind of hooked on it. So I know that's, unless something terribly goes wrong with this series, I'm probably going to love that one going all the way into the five generations of it. I did mention probably in that podcast episode that one of my favorite games of all time was Valkyria Chronicles.
Xenosaga?
4 was fantastic as well, so check that out.
Xenosaga?
Xenosaga is PS2, but Xenoblade Chronicles?
Xenoblade Chronicles, yeah.
Yeah. Xenoblade Chronicles are good. They just recently did Xenoblade, the original one. They remastered that. I haven't got a chance to buy that one yet. That's one that I do want to pick up.
But they do have coming up one that we're highly interested in. And what was the name of that one? Genshin Impact?
Yeah, Genshin Impact is it got a really good anime style to it. I'd hate the fact that it's borrowing so much from Breath of the Wild, but the problem that only stands with that one is how they're handling the gacha system, because that one, it's a company that does gacha games, and I'm curious how they'll handle that in the console.
It's one of those that I was hesitant to mention it, but it's one that we are anticipating. We haven't played it yet, so it's not exactly fair to say that's one that we enjoy lately because we haven't played it yet.
Yeah, it's very much a struggle to find good anime games because they don't always have the best game systems. That's why I usually like to kind of veer towards JRPGs, just because you can't really mess those up. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the Fairy Tail game that's coming up late this year. Unless you haven't watched Fairy Tail, it's technically like somewhere in the middle of the series, so it's kind of weird that that would be something you'd want to jump into unless you're familiar with Fairy Tail.
The
Atelier games are solid though. A lot to do with the alchemy though.
The ones where they're always in hell and they're doing all the different things, the school and. With the printies?
Oh, Disgaea.
Disgaea. Those are usually pretty fun. But that one's kind of a...
Turn-based tactical.
Turn-based tactical. So if you don't like that, you're probably...
Very grindy, but it's the point.
One of the fun things about it is they don't care if you go overpowered. They don't care. It actually takes that into consideration.
Sword Online games I've been mixed on. I find them fun, and they're really cool if you like Sword Online and you want to get more in-depth on the characters. I've always mentioned the fact that they've managed to make certain characters that I thought were useless seem have more depth to them. But that is one of those games where the grind gets really blah.
Those ones are...
Very quickly. So it is a grind of a game.
Those are ones I goof off with here and there. I mean, it's one of those that I can't... It's designed around the idea of just being mostly fan service. I the Gun Gale one I found fun for a while. I got pretty deep into it, but like Andrew was saying, they tend to be very grindy, and you're just mostly just doing stuff with the characters that you like. That's really all it is. So
the Fate Extella If you are interested in Fate series, it's they're very self-contained, so you don't have to actually watch all the other Fate stuff to play Fate Extella. But yeah, especially if you like the Fate series, I thought that was a fantastic one to jump into. It's very, it's a hack and slash game. It's one of those, you know, slashing a million enemies with attacks and blowing them all up kind of thing. Musou, as they call them. So keep that in mind. Not the most fantastic. It's not a game that you don't run into that repetitiveness of the Musou games. So don't expect that to not be still existing there. If that's something that, like you, me, I have an issue with, but I kind of went through it anyways, just because I like the story of it. So if you're looking for a hack and slash game, that's an option there. Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's very anime. Most and it's all absolutely of them, fantastic.
Most all Final Fantasies are very anime.
Very anime. And I mean, we mentioned, I think, I don't know if Persona 5 was out at the time, but I probably mentioned Persona 4 Golden. That's now on Steam. So that's technically current gen. Mm-hmm. No longer stuck on Vita. Because Vita had so many good ones. I mean, we joked about Monster Mon Piece, but...
those like, are fun, if you like the
what was the... What was the escape game that I played the fire out of? It was so good. There's so many good Vita games out there.
The Dead...
It was the one where you were trapped in a prison and you had to, like, work out your sentence by fighting monsters with, like, grappling hooks and stuff. Gravity Rush. I love Gravity Rush.
I know there's a prison princess, but I don't think you're talking about that. That's a Switch... it's a visual novel-ish type game. Oh, the one where you were in the prison and you were working off your time?
Yeah.
That
was so good. Soul Sacrifice was trying to do the same thing, but it didn't work out.
Because we both played that one, and we tried to co-op that one. It was kind of like God Eater.
Yeah.
Where you were...
Same as Soul Sacrifice.
Freedom Wars,
yeah. That was awesome. But that was Vita. There's so many good games that were stuck on Vita, and... Kind of like the Wii U, they're kind of slowly trying to get the Switch. I'm hoping that they'll move stuff like that over. A Freedom Wars sequel would be so cool.
I didn't hate Freedom Wars. I really didn't. I actually was having a lot of fun with that. It was one of those that we kind of just got busy with other things, and I don't think we ever got back to it.
Oh, I played the fire out of it. I was playing it with a neighbor that we had at some point too, so that helped with that. But yeah. That's like the Valkyrie Chronicles. Like, I wish they would bring 2 up to current gen as well, because that one had a lot of fun co-op. Of course, a lot of that had to do with the fact that it was with my dad. I bought a PSP with Valkyrie Chronicles 2 just to play with him, because he actually played the first one with me, and it was really fun. So,
yeah, God Eater is technically fun. That's a lot like the Monster Hunter. I want
to try
the
Code Vein. Have you checked out Code Vein at all? That's supposed to be not Monster Hunter, but like more Dark Soul-ish, but similar to God Eater.
I haven't seen it, so I'll glance
I'm always mixed on the God Eater ones, because I always want to play them, but I always end up having that point in which I kind of just drop off of it. Every single one of them that I get, I'm like, yeah, hype. I start playing it, and then I just drop off at some point.
I
never beat them.
I never do either. But I always assumed that was because I don't beat anything. So
yeah, that's true. I get that a lot myself too. So I mean, that's why I tried to start up Shining Resonance. Is that the one that they had on the Switch that I bought? I fired that for like 2 minutes. And I'm like, not sure if I want to get into this right now. It's so hard. I mean, we talked about it when we reviewed High Score Girl. Technically the third season, but it's supposed to be the second season. We talked about it during that one, but it's hard to really get into games anymore, at least for myself. It's like I've had times where I sit there and I just stare at all my games and I go, which one do I want to play? I don't really want to play this right now. I don't want to get into this one. It's too long. This one just seems like it's going to be a throwaway. It's hard to get excited for a game. Like I said, Ghost of Tsushima is like the first time since Final Fantasy VII Remake that I've been super excited for, and I want to play this now. Before Final Fantasy VII Remake, I can't even remember the last game before then that I was really excited about. I mean, I jumped into Pokemon, but that was more to play with my brothers, which I did enjoy that one as well. That's very anime-ish, technically.
The only one that I can think of off the top of my head that I've been kind of interested
in. Oh, Resident Evil 2 remake.
Is Genshin Impact. That when you showed me that, I was like, this is cool. That was one of the few games in the last while that I've actually beat, next to the other one that I mentioned, the Xenoblade. Is those two were the only ones that in the last, quote unquote, last while that I've actually beat in a long time. I tend to play a game for a little while and then I get move on to something else. Those ones had me absolutely enthralled. And if you were to actually see my times, I mean, I had like 500-600 hours on one and 200-300 hours on the other one. It's like, I just loved those games. Final Fantasies were the only ones that would take me out for hundreds of hours at a time before then.
Yeah, my problem is it's hard to find a game to stick to as well. Catherine, I tried to play Catherine on the past gen. It is brought up to the new gen with a new character.
I was wondering, what the heck is going on with that third character?
What about it?
Is it she just a third love interest that you can goof off with, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Mm.
Or option.
I haven't gone that far into the story, so I don't know. I just kind of guess at kind of what I did see. I would only guess that a third option is presented at some point. It's a screwed up story. I don't.
I think the
I wasn't too impressed by the story.
I just hate the gameplay. I can't do it.
Yeah, the gameplay was kind of frustrating as well.
Very, very frustrating.
And now I only did like two or three levels, and I was like,
Hatsune Miku Project Diva. I can always suggest Hatsune Miku. That's gold right there. I love that stuff.
I don't know. I don't know. I know that we love it. I don't know that everybody can get into that kind of game. That's a special type of game.
Well, like I mentioned before, I technically didn't like Miku that much until I started really getting into the rhythm games, and I got hooked. It was literally playing those games that got me really hooked on Miku. That and Kawaii Radio back in the day that we used to listen to all the time. Yeah, sorry I don't have really that many definitive answers for you. Like I said, I'm enjoying Cold Steel. I'll keep kind of chiming in every now and then on the discussionals to let you know how that one's turning out. But that's been enjoyable so far. Fate Extella, Valkyria Chronicles 4, Love It to Death. Yeah, and I always enjoy jumping into a Disgaea game every now and then, so I would agree with Chris on that one. Those are usually a lot of remakes. We haven't really seen a new Disgaea game in forever. They just keep remaking the old ones. Unfortunately. So, yeah. One more quick one. Seth Amaha says, you asked for a few questions, but all I have are games, considering the complaint that there are too many. Isekai refuses to die. Let's give everyone an excuse. Time to play. Everyone is an Isekai. Like the game before, use the trusty Crunchyroll randomizer, and when you land on an anime you know, find an excuse to call it an Isekai. If you can find... Wow, that's we need more randomizer games. I always enjoy these. Where is the button? Did they remove the button? Where's the button, Chris?
It's usually in the top right.
Don't tell me they removed the randomizer button.
Go click on a show.
I think they got rid of it. What kind of crime is this? Crunchyroll, we need to talk. Life just got really sad. Thank you, Crunchyroll, for making life sad. We enjoyed the Crunchyroll button and randomizer button thingamajiggy. So we have to do it from the app, because for some reason it doesn't want to be on Crunchyroll or Safari or Chrome right now. What were we supposed to be doing?
Randomize and then turn it into an isekai.
Find an excuse to call it an isekai. I'll go first. Great Teacher Onizuka. Obviously, Onizuka is out of this world. He has to be from another world. Now, it's not isekai to like a fantasy setting. It's an isekai of a greater being to our time, which is him coming here and teaching people things.
That's where I was going with
dude
it.
Dude is way dude's way out of this world. Chris's turn. Lupin the Third Part 4.
Well, we can make the same argument there. I mean, it's obviously this god of agility just coming into this world and
a world of big chins. World of big chins.
And then his quest is obviously to steal the greatest treasures of all time.
Randomizer, go. Kyoto Ninden Tionde? Oh, Samurai Pizza Cats! That is Sony Sekai! It's cat people! And they make great pizza, and that ain't all. So yeah, this is obviously the viewers entering the world of cat people. So it's obviously an isekai. There's no doubt about that. I don't understand.
What's their quest?
They make great pizza, and that I know.
There we go.
Obviously. Randomizer, go. Cromarty High School?
I don't know. I don't know enough about
That's one I want to watch so bad. I feel bad I haven't watched it yet. I've seen some really crazy videos of it.
Lychee Light Club.
That one, that looks like a weird
chibi
thing. I have no clue. Randomizer, go. Godmars. Chris, you're just getting all of them, aren't you?
I apparently.
Nobunagan! Nobunagan, Chris.
I can actually do that one. Oh, it's been so long.
Well, people were technically transporting to her was, world, she wasn't was it?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a reverse.
I think they were merging. So they were bringing these historical figures to them, but obviously she was transported into this world because she had Nobunaga inside.
She had
the special connection to Nobunaga and each one of these other characters, you know, and it became it's a fascinating story. You should watch that show.
No, I give up on it. Next one.
I'm the only one that likes it, I'm sure.
Fate Zero. That's easy. It is isekai. It's heroes coming from another... Well, it's technically supposed to be heroes from Tales of the Past, but there's an argument to be made that a lot of these heroes aren't technically of real history, so they technically could be from an alternate reality of existence where, like, you know, Saber is a female. Nudge, nudge. What?
Weren't you transported into the main character of this story?
No.
No?
No, it's not you. Characters.
It's not you?
No.
You don't want to be in that world?
Just today's menu with Amy. Mobile Suit Gundam Seed HD Remastered. Chris, we didn't watch Seed yet. We didn't watch Seed yet, did we?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, we didn't watch that one yet. It's like one of the last ones. Nuspercast. That's a cast. I don't want that. Fantastic Adventures of Unico. I don't think we watched that one either. I'm getting bad luck this time. Kotaro-san, there you go. Make the argument that it is an isekai.
Well, obviously.
You technically have somebody that can read minds. Obviously, is not of this world.
But the best part about it is that goofy character who's like half insane that she, you know, becomes very good friends with, he's obviously from another world that doesn't...
He's like Subaru. He's trying to swoon her, but he keeps dying and having to reset. We just never see the resets happen.
Yeah.
We just see the actual end path.
Yeah. He just blows up every once in a while.
You never see it, because reset. Oh, Nisekoi, yeah, that's a good sign to turn this off now. We're done. I'm not doing it anymore. Nisekoi came up. Thanks for the randomizer thing, Seth. I'm glad that we found out that it was just a user error, apparently, upon my part. We will now know in the future to use the Safari on an iPad to find out randomizer.
You might just have to update I don't know if you can update a particular app.
Yeah, that's all the questions that we have for now. We have quite a few in here. There's some good feedback on Twitter. Havoc popped in and said, man, of all the anime podcasts I listen to, you're the only one I'm excited for to hear anymore is Otaku Spirit. Only been listening to it for about 6 months, and I'm hooked. Yet this week, I've seen two of top five anime podcast lists, and they are nowhere to be seen. My boys are getting robbed. I've seen us pop up on a few of them, which has always been really great, and I always appreciate people, you know, going out there and voting for us. But yeah, appreciate that. And he also said, "Damn it, Roberts." love it. Also, Sakumbi said back a while back, I didn't get a chance to mention on here, thanks for talking about and praising your favorite Hanasaki Roha on the podcast. I likely would have overlooked it otherwise. I grabbed the Blu-rays from Right Stuff and just finished watching them. Truly a great series that just got added to my top 10. I always love that. That's one of the things that we enjoy the most, and that's why we kind of push to watch a lot of shows, is trying to find those gems that really do hit with us and let people know about it. And yeah, not always it's going to work out for other people. Some people enjoy things more than we will. But just kind of spreading that voice about certain shows and getting people to find them is always the cool thing. And it's really rewarding when you have people that come back and say something like that, where they're like, yeah, this is my top 10 now. It's like, so glad you loved it as much as I did. I think I mentioned to you that, you know, there is the movies. So definitely check those out when you get a chance. It's good stuff, though. Yeah, that's all the time we have for the moment. I think when we get back, we'll probably be doing a music episode. I don't know. We'll see if we have enough episodes out for a lot of the shows to get a music episode out. If not, we'll probably look at doing something else, maybe a topic or something, but we'll see. We've got to prepare a topic in case we don't have enough music. I guess that's the way to put it. There was a couple of them that's already popped up with their musics in their episodes. Like Fire Force had the Aimer opening, which is going to be definitely on the music episode. But we'll see when that comes up. As usual, that's a big one for a lot of people. They enjoy our music episodes. So we thank people for enjoying them. Definitely all the work that we put into them. As usual, we really enjoy people and their support vocally on Twitter, social media, telling other people about us. We definitely, as always, appreciate our Patreon supporters for their support and keeping the hosting and everything paid for. And with that all said, we thank you all for listening. We hope you all enjoyed, and you all take care.
Oos!
しまいそう見つめる景色空の青さも全部汗ばむ